Welcome, everybody. This is Mordechai Plotzker. Welcome to ShareAndJoyMe.com. Tonight's share is twofold. I wanted to focus on the first element of the parsha, which is the message of the Sota through the lens of the Kedushas Levi, as well as Berachos Kohanim. So please bear with me as we attempt to go through both. Imagine the scene of Kriyas Yamsov. Kriyas Yamsov was when the Jewish people, you know, bore witness to the Egyptians dying on the seabed and floating to the top. Of course, the Haggadah tells us that there were many punishments that were meted out to the Egyptians on that day. And what we say every day in davening, we say, Vayar Yisrael, and the Jewish people saw us, right, as Yadol Asher, Asa Hashem in Mitzrayim, the great hand that Hashem did with Mitzrayim, Vayir Amas Hashem, Vayamin Ba Hashem Moshe Avdo. And they believed, they developed Yiras Hashem and Amunah that Moshe is the conduit of the Masorah Satorah. Now, these are two critical themes, right? Yiras Hashem and Amunah, that are truly prerequisites to Kabbalah Satorah, right? So once we were able to excise ourselves from the Egyptians, then we were fully able to embrace Kabbalah Satorah, which means that up until a certain point, we called the Egyptians as they demanded of us, Master. And now HaKadosh Baruch Hu released this Master of Basar Adam. And so we are able to fully davuk, to fully attach ourselves to Hashem. Now, this is very important because there are times when HaKadosh Baruch Hu meets out punishment to evil people on a very grand scale. And then there are times when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the same, but on a very lower scale. So in this week's parsha, we know that we discussed the Sota. The Sota is a very challenging topic. That's not a topic that most Rabbanim like to talk about at the pulpit, but, you know, this is definitely the forum that we can explore. And we all know a second thing, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, everything that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Alo Me'Hashem Al Tetzei Ra, say Chazal, everything that comes from Hashem is all good, which means that even though we're unable to see the good, we have to recognize that there is some good, even in difficulty, even in a challenge. Sometimes, you know, the greatest example of this would be my great-grandfather, who was killed in a pogrom in 1919, and his wife, Kendall, you know, was the mother of 13 children, and she realized that she could not stay in Poland. She could not stay in the town called Rypien, which is in the under the governance of Płock, right, which was the overarching town. And so that's where we get our name from. We just added an ER and Americanized it. And that's why it sounds like Plotzker. But the original name of the city is P-L-O-C-K, and it's pronounced Płock. In any event, because of which, by 1922, the family had migrated to America, and there were two sisters that went to Eretz Yisrael, and they married a girl that's an Eckstein, and if you throw a rock in Meir Shalmagula, you're bound to bump into one of my cousins. But the idea is that there was a terrible incident, and yet something positive came out as a result. So, what is the good that comes out of the messaging of the Sota? Where do we see the good? We know we have a corpse over here, right? If a person did something and they were suspected. So where do we see Halo Hashem Matzitzira? So if Hashem, if everything that comes from Hashem is all good, then where is the good in this circumstance? Explains the Kedushas Levi that up until the point of the Sota, many people would doubt whether or not there's any efficacy to all of the pomp and ceremony that goes in, you know, writing Hashem's name, then having it evaporate within the water, the ne'amarim, and then having a person drink something. And if, as a result, all of the things that are described in the Torah happen, which is what evidently did happen during the time of Rabbi Chaim ben Attar, which is the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, where there was a case of a Sota, and all the circumstances that were described in the Torah happened at that point. So then everyone who bears witness takes upon themselves the solemn oath that they would practice fidelity going forward. And as a result, then all of the people that bore witness to this tragic event give zechusim to the Niftaras, that she goes up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of these zechusim behind her, all of these malachim that stand in her defense. Meaning that although she ended up leaving this world, she still walks up, so to speak, or presents herself before HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of these malachim. What are these malachim referring to? These are the people that bore witness, and they say, you know, now on, I'm going to be practicing fidelity. And now on, I'm going to be transmitting this, you know, this circumstance, this event to the children and grandchildren and future generations, that this is Moshe Emes v'Torah Aseh Emes. So the same thing says the Kedushas Levi is true on a more grand scale, that if we didn't have the Mitzrim, then how would they create such a schus? Now, it's interesting because his philosophy or his approach to tragedy is something very, very different than the way most people would look at it. And so he describes that the Mitzrim actually earned a schus. What was the schus? That they were the conduits for the Jewish people to develop Yiras Hashem and Emunah in Moshe Rabbeinu. And that is what gives these Egyptians tremendous schusim. Because, you know, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, that my children are drowning in the sea. Masa yade tava bayam, atema mashira. Right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also a little bit concerned about when, that's why we say that when we see wicked people fall, we shouldn't be, you know, smiling. We shouldn't be looking back. And it's really the story of Lot, really, and his wife. They were told not to look back on Sodom while they were getting destroyed. And when she did turn back, she turned into a pillar of salt. And so that's really the storyline over here, is that sometimes we may not really have this chusam to look upon our enemies in their time of destruction. And I think Chazal are telling us a very powerful lesson, not just not to look, but also to appreciate that evil people that do terrible things, especially if it's being done to Klal Yisrael, they earn some form of schus if they turn us to be closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What exactly is that schus? I have no idea. I'm not even sure how to describe it. But the Kedushas Levi explains that the Mitzrim earned a schus, and so too the Sota, she earns a schus, many schusim actually, because of all the people that will now practice fidelity as a result of witnessing this tragic event. So that's why the pasuk says, "Yitin Hashem la'ala u'shva b'tochamech," right? And that's very strong language. And that's the story of the Mesota. So this sounds a little bit, you know, from a very different angle than most of us are accustomed to listening to or accustomed to understanding. But it is the position of the Kedushas Levi, and I feel it's important to share it. The second item that I wanted to just touch upon briefly is Berachas Kohanim. We know that right before Berachas Kohanim, we say, Ko Sivarcho Es B'nei Yisrael. The word Ko is there. Right here, we're going to bless the Jewish people. And imagine the scene once again. The scene is that in a few parashas from now, God willing, we'll get to it soon enough, in Parashas Balak, we know that Bilam tries to replace the Jewish people. This is a common approach that the Christians have tried to do over the course of many generations, to replace the Jews, the new Israelites. And so that, you know, that's never going to happen, because the pasuk over here says in Parashas Balak, when Bilam turns to the donkey, or the donkey turns to Bilam, it says, "Lami kisash, why did you hit me shalosh regalim? Why did you hit me three times?" Now, clearly the donkey could have said, "Why did you hit me three times shalosh pa'amim?" Why did he use the word regalim? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi tells us that Bilam sought to replace the Jewish people. Now, however, Bilam, you are someone who's exempt from going up to Ol HaRegel. Why? Because you were blinded in one eye, sumachas mein avos patim in ria, and secondly, you can't even walk. You're a chigar. You can't even walk on both legs because one of them is maimed now. So there's no longer that responsibility that resides with you. It really will reside with the Jewish people. And so if you look back at the Berachas Kohanim, you find something that correlates back to the regalim itself in Berachas Kohanim. And that is, there are three psukim, right? Yerecha Hashem v'yishmeracha, that's pasuk one. Yah Hashem panav elecha v'yizanecha, that's pasuk two, containing five words. And the last pasuk is, Yisa Hashem panav elecha v'yasam lecha shalom, that's the third pasuk. And so the three psukim relate to the shalosh regalim, the three regalim. Each one of those psukim, if you add up the 7, 5, and 3, you end up with 15. 15 are the number of days that if we were living in Eretz Yisrael, we would observe the Moadim. Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuos, 7 plus 7 plus 1 day. Over here we have obviously an extra day because we're not clear what it is, and this is a minigab sinna biadena, so we carry forward. But if we were in Eretz Yisrael, we would only hold 7 days of Sukkot, and 1 day of Shavuos. And so what does the 60, actually there's another common element here that across the 15 words, across the span of these three psukim, we find 60 letters. And the 60 letters refer to a batel b'shishim, right? Why? Because it says that by Chet HaEgel, it says, Vahiki Boshesh Moshe. Moshe was delayed by 6 hours. And the Yaki, we don't know if there were Yakis back then, but they were counting from the nighttime, which was false. Should have been counting from the daytime. In any event, they miscalculated those 6 hours, thinking that Moshe Rabbeinu was delayed by 6 hours, and then they went ahead with the Chet HaEgel, when they really should have been counting from daybreak and not from the night. So in any event, we find that there is a beautiful correlation. Yivracha Hashem, the Yishmaracha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless us. The Yishmaracha means that when we advance with money, right, we shouldn't allow that to cloud our judgment when it comes to Yiras Hashem. Because Shlomo HaMelech said very clearly in Koheleth, if a person gets very rich, then it's possible that he won't be Dovak HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or at least he'll have, you know, Marba Nechasim, Marba Daiga. When a person has a lot of Nechasim, they also have a lot of worries. But with those worries come, you know, the ability to sometimes transcend time and not be focused on the ideal. And as we look through the rest of Berachas Kohanim, we see Yar Hashem Pana Revecha Bichunecha. The word Bichunecha is the language of Chen, that we should be found in with a state of grace among, right, as my father Hashem would say, Tzegat to light. We have to strive to be Tzegat, that we have to be Chen with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To light is the general population. We should also be found in good grace. And that's something that we say every morning. Chayin v'chesed rachman. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we should have chayin, that we should be able to develop a form of chesed that we do for others. We should be able to be merciful. Because after all, the Gemara in Yevamos talks about that we are rachmanim b'shanim and gomlei chasadim. We have three characteristics that make us Jews. One is that we are merciful. Second, that we get embarrassed easily because we are sensitive. And the third is that we are filled with repose in the sense that we always strive to do for others in a form of chesed. And so the last is that the word shalom means peace, but also it could be a reference to shlemut, which is completeness. That a person should not be lacking anything. That a person could be at peace but still be lacking. A person could be calm, cool, and collected but still be lacking, you know, peace of mind. And the word shalom refers to, as Hasidic masters like to refer to, as shlemus, something that envelops completeness. And that, my friends, is the true bracha, that we should be able to not get carried away with our funds. We should always be found in good grace among the general population as well as within our own communities, and that we should be lacking nothing in the form of shlemus. And that is the culmination of those three brachos. That is the relationship between the Berachas Kohanim and the Mo'adim, and between the Mo'adim and our everyday life. And with this bracha, we should carry forward. We should have reasons to smile. We should take the bracha. And we close with one thought from Rav Soloveitchik, who said that the word, you know, Ko Sivarchu is the language of here we will bless. And whenever we see the word Ko, we know that a blessing is coming about. Kosagil Beis Yaakov, that we should say this over to the Beis Yaakov and B'nai Yisrael. The word Ko always introduces some form of blessing. However, not too long from now, we will say Echa, which is Ayeko, says the Rosh, that where is the Ko? Meaning we're looking for the Ko that we just experienced right now in this Parsha. Let's make sure that we never lose sight of the Ko. Let's make sure that we always incorporate the Ko Sivarchu into our everyday lives so we can walk forward with confidence and, of course, with shleimus. Baruch HaPlatzke, wishing you the very best, and a week filled with Hatzlacha and Bracha. All the best.